Folks, it is spring, but Mother Nature has not gotten the memo.
It's a snowpocalypse, baby.
Yeah. It's really beautiful, but disruptively.
It's a beautiful mess out there.
Yeah, disruptively so. I'm looking out the window right now, and all of the branches have about, I don't know, like a half inch of ice on them or so.
Mm-hmm.
And power's down. You guys got your power down, right?
We haven't had power for like almost 20 hours.
That's fucked
up. And there's no sign of it coming back anytime soon.
No, the pole at the end of our block is like split in half. As a tree fell, maybe several trees fell on it, and it was like old as shit, so it just kind of got broken half.
Everything in our neighborhood is old as shit. All the trees are old as shit. The power lines are old as shit. So every time there's a big storm, we lose power like once or twice a year. But this time it's really cold.
Yeah.
It's like a really cold time. Like it got down to 12 degrees last night. So the cats were very snuggly last night. Yeah. I'll say that.
Well, at least they got you guys for heat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
best of luck out there.
Yeah. Seriously. Stay safe.
For real.
It's pretty rough.
Yeah, we got a wide potpourri of stories today.
We do.
Talk to your parents about Facebook before someone else does. I'm almost serious about that. I don't know. I do think a lot of people should keep an eye on their parents' Facebook use, just to, if anything, just make sure that they don't get like scammed. You know, but this is Someone took the sewage pipe and connected it right into the input of Facebook.
Yeah.
And now it's just like circling and circling and churning, just like absolute dog shit, just over and over and over
like
and
the,
over again.
The AI sewage pipe.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's fast. I think fascinating to see what works on Facebook, right? It's like Jesus, the military, and the X Factor.
The X Factor?
Yeah, you know, the like America's Got Talent kind of like shows.
How does Physical 100 do on Facebook?
All right. And it's so basically Facebook's recommendation algorithm, however it works, and it's true that like basically no one at Facebook fully understands how the whole site works, because it's just been like added on so many times. It's just like a deeply complicated piece of technology that designed to make you insane.
Yeah.
So like it's just like some sort of inscrutable thing that like people look at it and go insane, and then the people who work on it can't figure it out either. I don't know, it's like some fucking like
it's a Gordian knot.
Yeah, or like it's like the Necronomicon or something. And so lately these companies or these like page managers have either stolen the accounts of like fairly well-run pages and have just like set up completely fake ones to just like churn out this AI content that just gets a bunch of clicks, probably from other AI chatbots, but it's like it's just kind of like robots talking to each other a lot with like a couple of old people going like, "What's going on? I love my grandson." You know,
and it's like bots all the way down, right? Like their bot accounts making bot created AI being liked and commented on by bots.
Yeah. So from this 404 media article, they said, what is happening simply is that hundreds of AI-generated spam pages are posting dozens of times a day and are being rewarded by Facebook's recommendation algorithm. Because AI-generated spam works, increasingly outlandish things are going viral and are then being recommended by the people who interact with them. Some of the pages, which originally seemed to have no purpose other than to amass a large number of followers, have since pivoted to driving traffic to web pages that are uniformly littered with ads and themselves are sometimes AI-generated, or to sites that are selling cheap products or outright scams. So it'll be stuff like a guy saying that I carved this dog statue like to subscribe and Jesus, and then like everyone will be like, I love my dog makes me happy like Jesus, and then it'll be like, recycle please, and I'd just be like complete and utter trash.
Yeah.
So in other words, everything's going according to plan. The accelerationists are winning. And this is fine.
Or I really like this one. This is from the Facebook group Beautiful Military.
Love it. Love it so
and
far.
And it says, pray to God, will bless you, amen. And then it's this.
Whoa. Whoa.
Chris, you want to describe that picture that you're looking at right now?
Whoa. Whoa. This is the episode art, right? Here, let me pass this to Brittany.
Let's see it. Okay. Oh, dear.
So.
Oh, my.
There is a very, very lovely, stacked woman in military fatigues, deeply AI-generated body shape and, like, lighting. It's like
someone grabbed the points at her butt and tits and just like dragged outward. Yeah.
And it also looks like a rendering
like a
from
doll
like
head.
Yeah, it looks like a rendering from like a Call of Duty game.
Yeah.
And she is like either hugging or like standing next to in an embracing posture.
Being embraced by a
Jesus like character with a crown of thorns, but entirely made of recycled bottles.
Yeah.
So, plastic bottles.
Yeah. So
it'll be the episode art if you want to check it out.
That's
incredible. Yeah. That's better than shrimp Jesus.
Yeah. Here's another one. Jesus loves me. Beautiful cabin crew, Scarlett Johansson. Boom challenge, cabin crew, God is good. That's the post. And then it's a stereotypical white Jesus just kind of standing over someone in a hospital room.
Okay.
This one's also good. From Dogs Whisper from Heaven account.
They do be doing that.
Only great people will like this photo. Heart emoji, two praying hands emojis. And it's like a ghost dog.
Oh my God.
Yo, that movie is incredible.
Yeah.
That might change my opinions about AI, actually. Oh my God.
Oh my God.
It's like a lady crying, looking at a book of that dog.
Oh my God.
The dog behind her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yo, that's wild.
Yeah.
That's wild. My brother, rest in peace, Stiv Scully. My brother just lost his dog, who was his, like, number one closest companion in life. And that is an incredible image.
And so, like, a lot of, there's a lot that are just like Jesus as a shrimp or bottles. Or like a wood carving.
Do they have any like commie themed Jesus?
No.
You know, like the crucifix that's also a hammer and sickle that the Bolivian president gave to the Pope.
Get on it, Chris. I know you're not on Facebook, but there's still time.
You can make it.
This could be your hobby.
I mean this is what everybody predicted, right?
Yeah.
And it's happening
it's definitely
faster.
A dead internet theory coming to life, yeah.
Yeah, very quickly.
They basically don't know why exactly this is happening, but it's something where the AI generators interact with the Facebook algorithm that they just like work perfectly with each other, so that whatever the AI generates like just does really really well.
Yeah, it's got SEO built in.
Yeah, because it also these scammers have also found that like. Facebook doesn't want you to leave Facebook, right? So the algorithm will promote a photo, but not like a link to something else. Mm-hmm. So what they're doing is they'll post a photo, and then in the comment will be a link if they want you to go to something.
Okay.
And then they'll pin that comment with the link. And like that's the thing that will like bring you to an ad-laden page that where now... So Microsoft is running the AI... that is giving you insane images on Meta's Facebook that are then being monetized by Google's cloud services and ad support. So really, it's just
it's an Ouroboros.
Yeah, that you look at on your iPad, right? So it's just like the four most valuable companies on the planet.
Yeah, just like in a circle jerk.
Yeah, just swirling around a bunch of like insane nightmare fuel garbage that you just like that old people just like look at and get scammed. And that's the richest companies in the world making money.
I completely agree with everything but the nightmare fuel. Like, I want to look at those images again.
Chris, you got to put down the thick military lady.
Yeah, yeah.
You gotta cut it out.
I'm interested in the bottle Jesus.
The bottle Jesus that, yeah, originally getting him.
Yeah.
He looks at the AI visuals for the articles.
Yeah, apparently these sorts of pages went from having like 250,000 interactions on Facebook back in November to more than 2 million.
Whoa.
The next month.
Holy shit.
Whoa.
And have stayed at over 2 million interactions since January. Mm-hmm. This is all according to data pulled by something called CrowdTangle, a Facebook analysis tool.
Okay.
That the company just announced it will shut down.
Wow. Well, yeah. Wow.
And it will also lock reporters out of the tool that is going to replace it.
Wow.
Cool.
Yeah. Can't let the reporters know what is actually happening on one of the most valued websites ever.
And right? One of the most important communication platforms the world has ever seen.
Yeah.
Like,
agree.
So why do boomers like this shit?
Yeah.
What's going on here? Why? Because I've seen other kinds of AI posts on Facebook that are popular that are also just like an attractive woman sitting behind a pizza saying like, I just made this. What do you think? And it's like, what? It looks like garbage. Mm-hmm. Like it looks fake as fuck. Mm-hmm. And it's just a woman sitting behind a pizza.
Yeah.
There, I saw another one of like a man like with ravioli. And he's like, I love ravioli. Do you? I don't understand what about this content is compelling.
Well, there's got to be something.
Like it's shrimp Jesus I get. That's fucking cool.
The uncanny valley has an appeal all of its own, you know? So I think that people are like naturally, like intrigued by stuff that looks just a little off. I mean, like,
I don't think they know it's fake, though.
They might be getting privy to it.
Because they were commenting like, wow, looks great. Wish I could have a piece.
Are you sure they were real people?
Well, that's the question, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because some might be fake, but then when you see other people commenting on it, you're like, oh, this must be real. Please look at these other people. There's also, like, this 404 article also mentions something that maybe gets us further to the truth there of your question, Brittany, which is like, They'll also take like images of Simon Cowell, right, the mean guy, the mean judge, and all the singy competitions, and they'll change his appearance just slightly. Like here, it just kind of looks like he got stung by a bee in the in the forehead or something.
Yeah,
like
he's had a lot of bad work, though.
Yeah, but it's like some like weird.
He's had a lot of bad work. Yeah. You never know; it could actually be his face. Have you seen a picture of him recently?
Yeah, well, here's the photo that it seems to be based off of.
I see.
Right, and so like so it's just like altered very slightly, and then it will be brought to a page that will be, they'll have something like, the little girl captivated the jury with her magnificent performance. Even Simon said yes to her. And then that'll be posted to a Facebook group just called Thoughts.
Not THOTS.
No, okay.
I am missing out. I really got to get back on Facebook.
That'll say, the boy performed such a song that the jury could not speak. They walked to the stage to hug the boy. At the end of the song, the jury couldn't stand it and cried. Watch it by following the link in the first comments.
Wow. So that's how they get you.
And then
you
click the first link and it's just like an ad farm.
Then below it are people seemingly that are saying stuff like, you know, beautiful, it made me cry, and every dash one else.
Yeah.
Thanks for the love, care, and support. I love you all. Make sure you love others too. You're right. And so on.
What the fuck, man?
So you both are familiar with the Turing test, right?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
So essentially, for those that aren't familiar, essentially it was an early computer test wherein they were trying to basically see how effectively computers could pass themselves off as people. Mm-hmm. And if they could, then the test was essentially passed. Well, now in the age of like AI or, you know, applied statistics, as I like to call it, basically the Turing test is like super outdated. Like everything can present like in a way that is convincing to be a person.
Sure.
And so that's like baby shit. They're talking about a new Turing test though in like this era. And the new Turing test is, can a AI like entity or computer algorithm that's supposed to be like a human, can it take $100,000 and turn it into $10 million? And that is the new test that they're trying to apply.
Okay.
And I bet you all of this stuff is like efforts at that, which, you know, obviously they're in it for the money. They're not trying to like, you know, pass a test for like peer recognition or whatever. But like, that's where all of this is going, mm-hmm. is to turn AI chatbots and applied statistics like engines and instances into economic exploitative entities,
right.
and see how successful they can be. And so in the current marketplace, right, it's attention, it's ads, it's clicks, it's whatever, can like get a lot of passive revenue. But eventually they're going to branch out into more lucrative, like, I don't know, cybercrime. You know, right. like there's just so much other stuff you can do and use applied statistics to than just drive traffic and turn the internet into gray goo.
And like right now, I mean, like scamming is a hugely profitable sector. Like just scam, you know, we talked a couple of episodes back about the woman who handed over $50,000 in a shoebox. So obviously there's money to be made.
Turned out AI bot.
Yeah, there's no reason AI can't do that. There's no reason AI can't scam people just as effectively as, you know, underpaid people living overseas are currently doing it.
Yeah. And they'll be like telling a person, it'll be like a Black Mirror episode, to just like go get in a car and get to a spot and just take a bag from someone, and it will do all the scamming for you. You just have to be the physical guy that shows up with the bag.
Yeah. Right.
But then there's another guy who's watching you with a rifle scope to see if you open and steal the bag, and you know it's
actually a drone. It's an AI powered drone that's scoping you out. Yeah
it's just everyone with a gun pointed at each other that they bought on Fiverr.
that was sent to them.
I should say this was my favorite image.
What?
Which is a like a 5-story tall golden Jesus carrying a Chinook helicopter that is also gold, being held up by a bunch of gold people.
This article will be in the show notes, folks, if you want to take this audio medium to a visual level and check out these images.
So this is, what is it, the Great Savior, the Rio de Janeiro statue
kind of like that.
Inspired? Like, oh my God, that is...
I think, honestly, what this taught me more than anything was that Islam is the only true religion, because they figured it out. They're just no images of the Savior.
Just don't do it.
He's like, that's gonna, it's nothing good can come from depicting your God.
Yeah, just they were like 1500 years ahead of the curve on AI imagery.
Or literally any creation of the God. So any natural form. You're a tight iconoclast now.
Yeah. Just all of that is haram. Do not do it.
How about just no more image, no more looking?
Yeah,
only podcasts from now on, guys. You can only listen to things.
For
That can't be AI.
No. Yeah, for the Muslim listeners, is AI generated geometric art haram, or is it just AI generated depictions of nature?
Wait, what does AI generated have to do with haram?
Well, the idea is, you know, whether you're doing it or AI is doing it. Like, if you, you know, have AI draw a picture of Muhammad or something, you know.
Yeah, but
like,
what does that have to do with nature?
Well, the whole point is, in Islamic art, no reproductions of the natural world are allowed. So animals. Yeah. That's why it's geometric. That's why it's gorgeous.
Fascinating.
And you know, will never be out of in bad taste. Like you see, like the roofs on the mosques and stuff.
Yeah, sure.
It's all geometry.
Yeah.
And like,
I didn't know that about natural features. That's interesting.
Well, they knew something we didn't. Good idea, man. That's a good fucking idea. Speaking of religion.
Oh, yeah, good.
Right? Yeah.
Well
good
done.
Segue.
Yeah. Well done.
How about that Opus Dei?
Yeah, what that Opus Dei do?
Nothing good.
Nothing good.
Unity of life. Unity of life.
Yeah. So, I don't know if you've probably maybe heard of Opus Dei, you know, like in, I don't know, it's like some sort of like fodder for conspiracy theory kind of stuff.
Well, what was the Tom Hanks movie?
Oh, yeah.
Mr. Holland's Opus Dei.
No, the Dan Brown book. Yeah, the Da Vinci Code.
The Da Vinci Code. Yes, Opus Dei plays a big role in the Da Vinci Code.
Yeah, that brought Opus Dei into the light, as it were. But it existed since at least the 20s, founded by a man named Monsignor Jose Maria Escriva. And he did it in fascist Spain. So it must be good.
So you know it's good, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. obviously, like, you know, lots of good ideas coming around at that time. And the idea was basically, so, you know, you'd had all these different, like, brotherhoods where you could, like, you know, devote your life to Christ, but you had to be, like, celibate and, like, hang out with your boys all the time and brew beer. And,
yeah,
and this,
copy manuscripts.
Yeah, yeah. And, like, this fucking fascist is like, no, what if you tried to be a lawyer instead?
What if you were a middle manager bureaucrat in the state apparatus?
Yeah, what about my man's? How can he be holy at work?
Right.
Yeah.
So that was basically it. You know, Opus Dei, God's work or work for God. You know, it's like it's in the name. And it's just basically a way to
launder money.
Launder money. Yeah, yeah, yeah. The Jesuits literally called it like a holy mafia.
It's about making the money clean in the eyes of God.
Yeah.
Right. Purification.
And it ascended to like the highest ranks of the Catholic Church. Pope JP II, John Paul II.
I thought he was the good one. I can't believe he did this shit.
Yeah,
what the fuck?
He was like 80. He was like 82 at the time. He probably wasn't on his game by then.
Yeah,
but anyway,
he
canonized Escriva, the guy that made up Opus Dei, and basically created this. Vast network of like tens of thousands of Catholics that had like the organizational power of a diocese, but not geographically defined, right? And so instead, you'd just like at this cross-cutting network of very powerful people who are Catholic,
who answer directly to the Pope,
who would answer directly to the Pope. Joe Biden, not an Opus Dei,
yeah,
no.
but several people in the Supreme Court. Opus Dei.
Yeah, this was like the Catholic response, you know, like 100 years too late, but the Masons, right? Like,
it's very Masony.
Yeah, and it's criticized within the Catholic Church as being too Masony.
Yeah.
Right.
They even let people who aren't Christians be like collaborators or whatever, like within the structure of the Opus Dei organization, like that have sanctity from the Holy See as being like cool, mm-hmm. cool for the cause, which is interesting. You know,
yeah, as long as you're giving up money, then you're good.
Yeah. And Pope John Paul II called Escriva the saint of ordinary life, which is
good for him.
Sure. But what is particularly, you know, so like all of that, you know, definitely seems bad for, you know, a world that you would want to have, like, I don't know, some sort of democratic process and freedom in is like not, you know, you probably don't want to have like a shadowy hyper conservative organization controlling things and funneling money directly to their you know, their high priest,
their corporate overlords.
Yeah. Which should also say, like, there's no like, it's also like it's got some MLM in it too, where like your job, whatever your day job is, you're basically supposed to give it all to Opus Dei, and then in turn they will return to you like a living stipend.
Mm-hmm.
And then like stuff that you own, is like. In service of Opus Dei, so that way Opus Dei doesn't own anything, but it can, like, control stuff.
But it owns everything.
Yeah, but it owns
everything is owned by, like, philanthropist members who start foundations that are associated with Opus Dei, but they're not account, like, Opus Dei isn't accountable for any of the things that they do. So it's just, like, basically this massive shadow bureaucracy of kind of weird connections between organizations.
Yeah, like an influence network, but with like a lot of hierarchical structuralized, organization.
Right.
Yeah. And that stuff works very well for the numeraries in the organization, or I think they're also called like supernumeraries.
So there's numeraries and supernumeraries.
Right.
Supernumeraries are the people who are allowed to have ordinary lives, get married, have families, have jobs outside of, you know, direct Opus Dei work. Numeraries are the ones who are employed in institutions of Opus Dei institutions, yeah, who do not have an outside life.
Yeah, and are celibate.
And are celibate.
And most of them are celibate. And then there are assistant numeraries, who are almost all women, it seems like, and are coerced into domestic servitude through a rigid system of psychological control and torture.
Yeah.
So, and that, awesome.
And that's what we're going to look at for right now. Or this is a story published by the Financial Times. We have some free links in the show notes where you can read this, but it's long. It covers it follows three different women from like Ireland, Argentina, and Spain, I think, that like basically all got tricked into being in Opus Dei as assistant numeraries because they wanted to, like, they thought they were like getting into catering.
They were devout. I mean, yeah, they thought they were going to live a life of Christ. Like,
right.
They thought this would be
catering for Christ.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, this would be, they call it the vocation, the calling, you know, this is your calling is to serve Christ by being essentially a steward, you know, is a lot of the work that they do. It's serving and washing and, you know, cleaning and mostly for men.
Yeah, yeah.
Who are going to these institutions, men who are scholars at various universities or these like giant dining halls where they have like really fancy event spaces and stuff like that.
Yeah.
God's plan.
Yeah. And like a lot of these women are like, you know, the last of like 13 children. Well, at least one of them was.
Yeah, but one of them is like from a
that can't
fucking
be too
brood.
Common.
Yeah, yeah. Like an enormous.
I mean, talking about Ireland here.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, they have fucking abortion.
Right.
Now, right.
Yeah, it should say that, yeah, a lot of this happened like in the 80s. That they're you know, these women are now in their 60s.
Yeah.
But at the time, yeah, they're just like basically sold off to the church by their family.
Mm-hmm.
And with the thought that they were gonna learn like some skills that would serve them in a vocation.
They were supposed to go to school.
And they were supposed to go to school and stuff. These women would often, if they were able to get out of Opus Dei, would weigh almost nothing.
Yep.
They were being starved?
They were being starved, as well as, they would say that, you know, it's Catholic, right? So it's just like, suffering is good. Find new ways to suffer and deprive yourself of things, and that's going to actually help you rise in the ranks of this organization.
Yeah.
So you would like do what's called like, you know, like the perfect administration, which is like basically creep up behind your master, this powerful guy, and feed and like serve him to the, you know, from the left, put a plate down with a gloved hand and walk away. Like he cannot see you. And so like the smaller and quieter and nothing that you are, the better.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'd like, you know, deprive yourself, you know, like find new things to deprive yourself of, like food or
sitting uncomfortably.
Like, yeah.
And so did Escriva like come up with all of these machinations, or was it just sort of an organic development? Like once this movement started, all these like misogynistic, like hierarchically dominative, like dudes were like seeing a convent and be like, needs more misogyny.
Needs more misogyny. More sexist.
It's like, what if we could get them to serve men more specifically? They're like doing their own thing too much. I know like they're serving like a male patriarchal god, but like we need them to like literally serve food in silence and starve themselves.
Can we also make them hurt themselves?
Right, yeah.
Which is another thing. They were forced to wear, I can't remember the term for it, but it's like a spiny chain that goes around your thigh.
Self-mortification.
They had to lash themselves with whips. Yeah, self-mortification.
Which I thought had fallen out of favor with, like, the Holy See, like, 150 years ago. Like, wasn't there, like, a whole, like, anti-whipping yourself thing in the Catholic Church?
Well, not for these motherfuckers. They're really into it. Yeah, it was pretty clear that what Escriva wanted more than anything was to just build a like neoliberal, like fascist arm of the Catholic Church, where it could insert itself into corporations and governments and allow practitioners that were very powerful and wealthy to continue basically living the life that they wanted to live as supernumeraries, but could always be funneling resources and information and power back to the organization in a way that would strengthen it considerably in the countries that they were operating, and then eventually directly to the Pope, right? So it was like a really, and so to the degree that like slave labor is needed to back up that kind of institution, like I think it's makes sense. I guess, you know, right? It's like, it's just like you need a bunch of unpaid labor to control all this,
make that really profitable.
Yeah, to make that really profitable.
And even if you didn't need it, you have this whole like centuries of like guilt and threat of like eternal damnation and torture for your immortal soul thing working for you as like pretty strong leverage to like coerce people into this type of shit. Like, sure. Maybe they don't even need the slavery. Maybe the slavery is just a perk and or like facet of their, like, well, there's all these people from a fucked up religion that are like pretty much okay making themselves slaves. Let's take advantage of this.
Well, I'm sure these sickos are also getting off on it.
Sure.
Like these men who are going to these dining halls being served by these waifs that they know are living like pious lives of poverty and self degradation and deprivation. Like they're fucking wanking to it. Like it's disgusting.
Yeah. And they have this, this story. There's a story in the article of like, you know, sometimes the parents will like find out that this is how their daughter is being treated. And, or like they do expect like some sort of call home on Easter or Christmas or whatever. And, there would be one where the parents were like encouraging her to leave and come home because they had seen her once, and then she looked emaciated.
She looked like shit, yeah.
And they were, and so they were trying to convince her to come home, and she's like, "No, this is my vocation. Like, I have to do this. This is the most important thing I'll ever do." And even though she really didn't want to still be there,
the calls were being listened in by the numeraries.
Yeah, and like, and by the end of it, like, you know, she like basically tells her family to like, you know, I have a family here, and you need to get, you know, go away. You know, it's cult stuff. And they, you know, after the call, they're like, "You did a great job. Like that was perfect."
Yeah.
Oh my God.
There's a lot of like giving and withholding affection and love. You know, it's very, very cultish. Like all of the ways Catholic. That cults reel people in and keep them in are at work.
Yeah. So there are apparently approximately 4,000 assistant numeraries in Opus Dei today. And the Catholic Church obviously denies that they're maintaining modern day slavery of women to.
I mean, outside of the nunneries,
yeah,
the convents
to keep this thing going, and our current Pope has apparently slowly have dethroned, I don't know what you call it, devolved.
Their status has fallen.
Yeah, their status has fallen a little bit.
They are now accountable to their local archbishops.
Yeah. Interesting.
So they've been reintegrated into the existing church hierarchy rather than being accountable only to the Pope.
Yeah. And he doesn't even really want to hear from them. He said, like, "Miss me with that shit."
That's a direct quote.
Yeah, the head of Opus Dei is no longer a bishop. It's like still a monsignor, so like he doesn't get to give him an important little information session about how all the slavery and cash stock options are doing. Like, I don't know.
And there's no way to know how rich this organization is another thing that they go over in this article. Like the because everything is so shadowy and all of their like donors are, you know,
lay people.
Yeah. So they're probably worth hundreds of millions of dollars, if not more.
Yeah. Shit's fucking crazy. I wonder how many of the like bishops and stuff that have gotten like a tongue lashing from the current pope are like connected to this, because I know that like there was a movement to basically like try to de-emphasize the pope within the Catholic Church or something like recently,
because like he's too liberal.
Yeah, he's too woke.
Woke pope. Pope's woke.
But yeah, so like a bunch of the American Catholic Church is basically like going through a little bit of a I don't know, like a crisis of faith. But yeah, I don't know. I was raised Catholic, right? Like I was going to church every Sunday, went to catechism for like fucking 10 years or some shit. Mm-hmm. The entire thing is crazy. Like from top to bottom, it's all based on shame, guilt, and fear. And this is the quote lay variant of that, but like sounds just like the rest of the Catholic Church. I mean, but with like kinkier elements.
Yeah, it's like sick, isn't it? Yeah. It's like a little, it's perverted.
Yeah, it's fucked up.
President of Ecuador, supernumerary of Opus Dei.
Great.
Yeah.
A lot of like big names in banking and finance.
Robert Hansen, the FBI agent who was convicted of spying for the Soviet Union and Russia.
Supernumerary?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
That is interesting.
It's a little confusing. Yeah. Let's see if there's any other. I'm just rolling through the
wiki.
Yeah, the wiki. See if there's any interesting stuff in here.
They've taken over a lot of the conservative judiciary too, right?
Yeah, it is I guess alleged. This is from Irish Central, so you know it has to be true. Justices Amy Coney Barrett, John Roberts, Clarence Thomas, Brett Kavanaugh, and Sam Alito have either belonged to or are close to members of Opus Dei.
No shit.
Interesting.
Yeah. Well, that sounds like a reliable source.
Yeah, right.
I believe it.
So speaking of cults, maybe this is a good time to let you two know that I am planning on traveling next Sunday for Easter.
Okay.
My mom is a confirmed Catholic. I'm actually the only person in my family lineage that isn't a confirmed Catholic.
Disappointing.
Yeah. not to me. but yeah, I'll be visiting my mom. Okay, both cool. Because, you know, Easter is a good excuse, really. But I miss her and love her.
You heard it here first, folks. We're not doing a podcast next week because Chris loves his mom.
And extension, that's cult. So in our Opus Dei conversation, we were talking about Ireland, I have been really interested in Irish unification, you know, my whole life, but especially in the recent political happenings over in Ireland, namely the failure of Brexit to really do well for the people of Northern Ireland, mm-hmm. and then also the rise in popularity of Sinn Féin. And now Sinn Féin is in a majority position, I think, both Northern and the Republic of Ireland. Mm-hmm. And so the possibility of unification is, you know, higher than it has been, like, ever. But at the same time, the failure of Brexit is giving a lot of caution to the idea of, like, voting for a unification of Ireland as like a concept. So I listened to a Reuters podcast, and I'll link the podcast episode if you want to hear more about this. But essentially, it consisted mostly of like interviews with people, both unionists and Republicans, you know, people living in the Republic of Ireland, people living in Northern Ireland, and just sort of opinion polling, like how they would view a vote for like a referendum on Irish unification. Mm-hmm. And essentially everyone was like, I'm not voting for a concept. Like, I think that, you know, it'd be great if Ireland was unified. Like most people actually feel that way at this point. Even, you know, the unionists, which is a little ironic, but they're extremely reticent to basically do what they did with Brexit, which is like vote for a legally binding decision on an idea.
That and nobody then, really knows what it will exactly entail.
No plan, right? Yeah. So people who are interested in Irish unification are now trying to like really, you know, discuss, you know, in a really staged and pragmatic way, like what that would look like, which is to say, like, you know, flag, anthem, you know, rights, you know, just like how a plan for unification would roll out. And I think that's really wise, which is to say, like, you don't want to see another Brexit happen in Ireland. Mm-hmm. But, it, you know, it's an interesting little podcast. So I'm going to link for that. But yeah.
This is the year for it, according to Star Trek.
Yeah.
This is the year it happens.
Yep. Yeah. According to data. Yeah. Yeah.
Cool. Well, thanks for the update. Keep us posted.
Yeah.
You're going to be our Irish unification correspondent, Chris.
I'm interested.
Should we talk about the spending bill?
Sure. Yeah.
This is me really bummed out.
What, you wanted the government to collapse?
I just don't want them to
stay afloat
this way. Yeah.
I can.
So this is a $1.2 trillion funding bill that's going to stop the government from shutting down. Biden is probably signing it as we speak. It was passed by the Senate yesterday, and he has said that he will sign it. So, but it's basically going to ban funding for the United Nations Relief and Works Agency.
UNRWA.
Is that how you say it? I've never heard it said out loud.
Yeah,
UNRWA. So it's sending $3.3 billion to Israel.
That's a lot.
That's a lot.
So that's business as usual, I guess. I guess we're not having our credit destroyed by Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Oh, but she does want to oust the Speaker of the House, though.
Speaker Johnson.
Yeah.
Yeah. Remember that
guy? Which is just fun.
Yeah.
She's just having fun, folks.
She's having a good time. Yeah, that's not... It's really funny. That's very funny.
Because she's like, why aren't you helping us destroy the government?
Yeah.
That's what we're here for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty wild.
It's pretty cool.
It'll be really interesting to see how the MAGA movement either like just fully entrenches itself and takes power for the entire United States government to then destroy it. Or if like there's going to be, you know, some type of corporate power shutdown. Of like that whole bullshit.
Yeah.
Like I don't know. Like time will tell.
I don't know. I could see. I think a lot of it will depend on whether or not Donald Trump gets reelected or reelected, whatever.
Yeah.
Because he's never stopped being my president. you know, like if he lost, I could see potentially a moderating force becoming more powerful in the Republican Party, maybe. I don't know if you put that, if the toothpaste goes back in that tube.
Yeah, it's just less democracy is the answer. We're just going to see less and less democracy is what.
That's true, no matter what happens. Yeah,
yeah, right. Yeah, but I think if any sort of Trump style candidate or movement were to get in the way of the accumulation of wealth, you just take away democracy.
Sure.
Yeah.
Because that'll be easier than like. Reforming the Republican Party is just like give both parties less say over how to do things. I don't know. It seems like, because I think also a lot of people would be like happy about it, is if you could say like we're just gonna get it done instead of playing politics with our military or something. You know, when you just like say shit like that, people love that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what losing your democracy sounds like, I think.
Yeah.
Right. Is like we need to cut through all of this red tape and everyone's just like playing games with the country's like money and resources. We need to get things done, and that's why you need to support me as the military junta, you know? Yeah. Like, you
know, like, yeah. Or maybe like it'll go the way that like MTG and you know, her ilk just get like JFK reloaded.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like
mm-hmm. I don't know.
That happens too.
Yeah. That does happen.
You know? Yeah. Yeah, no, I think that gives them too much.
Too messy.
It also makes them like He's like, all these people are like so paranoid anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Like they would just, you turn them into martyrs.
Can you imagine if Trump got assassinated? What would happen in this country?
Yeah, there'd be riots.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That would be wild.
Orlando would be on fire.
I'm not as much worried about like the riots. I'm worried about like the militias.
Yeah.
I'm worried about like, you know, like the organized elements of, stochastic violence, just being like, well, they forced our hand.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And then the reaction to the reaction.
Yeah.
It's usually pretty bad. Yeah. Not good.
Part 3, reaction, out now.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Jumper. It is really good. I listened to the whole thing. It's great.
Oh, I'm glad you liked it.
Fuck yeah.
Are we ready for a wildflower?
Oh, sure. Please.
Chris, hit me with it.
All right. So, you know how the corals are all getting really fucked?
Yeah.
Well, science is on that shit. And two articles came across my way in the past week or two relating to the corals. And the first is a group of Thai scientists have essentially unlocked like what is necessary to lab breed corals and then successfully introduce them back out in the wild. It has something to do with like the warming oceans and the acidification like are particularly dangerous for a certain stage of the coral development.
Mm-hmm.
And by doing it in captivity and then releasing it, and I forget like the exact secret sauce that allows for this. They've tried it in the past with limited success, but it looks like they're figuring it out. That seems to be helping a lot. And then the second thing is that they're finding that the corals, being animals, actually respond to auditory information in their environment to like figure out where to like set down and like start, you know, trying to build a colony.
Mm-hmm.
And the sound of successful, healthy, thriving coral reefs is extremely encouraging. And so they're figuring out how to record and then underwater reproduce the sound in areas that are, you know, with coral environment, like being degraded and like not healthy. And that is also bearing some fruit.
That's pretty cool.
It's pretty neat. It's pretty neat.
That it's like the sound of coral. That's crazy.
Yeah, it's like the sound of the whole coral ecosystem, right?
Yeah, sure.
Because like one of the greatest things about corals and why they're so important for marine wildlife is that they're a polyculture, right?
And they create a habitat for other organisms. Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
It's like, well, you know, when you can't fall asleep unless you have like the city noise thing going.
I want to know what a coral reef sounds like. I want to fall asleep to the sound of a coral.
Do you want
to
hear it?
Ooh, can we hear it?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's probably like, whoosh.
I think it's like.
No. This is a recording from a healthy coral reef. The crackling in the background that you hear is mostly snapping shrimp. And every once in a while, if you hear a little, some pops or grunts or gurgles at the lower frequencies, those are all fish calls.
Wow.
Fish calls?
Yeah.
What the fuck are the fish talking about?
Oh, that's cool.
Hey, baby. Hey, baby. let me
hey,
holler.
Hey, Toots. You're looking good.
Let me holler.
Awooga.
Come over to my anemone and chill.
That's pretty neat.
Nah, you're a clown. Fish.
Oh, man. Very cool. All right, well, there you have it, folks.
Science is on this shit.
Science is on it.
Here's hoping.
Yeah.
It's good to have you back.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks. Good to be back.
Yeah.
Back in the driver's seat.
Hell yeah. Your hair looks great.
Thank you. Got all my hair chopped off. Yeah.
What was your favorite part of your trip?
Oh, to Georgia. Probably just spending time with my folks.
Nice.
I mean, I don't get to see them all that often. They're pretty far away. So it was just nice to hang out and, you know, make really good food and good drinks, see their dogs. And yeah, just be out in beautiful Georgia. The weather was really lovely, unlike fucking here.
Yeah.
It was like 70 and sunny, you know, that was nice
to
pretend for a moment.
Two weeks is going to be like that.
I know. And can't the train wait. Ride was actually really cool.
Hell yeah.
I really enjoyed the train ride.
Nice.
It was long. It's a long trip. I would have liked it more if it was like 12 hours and not 21 hours, obviously. But
what did you do to occupy yourself?
I did a little bit of reading, read some like kind of trashy fantasy novel
nice.
Type material, and I watched a lot of The Office, and
hell yeah.
I slept a lot.
That's awesome. Did they have Wi-Fi on the train?
Yeah, but it sucked. I mostly just used the data on my phone. The Wi-Fi on the train was really bad.
Always is.
Yeah.
Biden, Buttigieg, get on it.
Get on it. Come on. And the UN just declared internet a human right, and I think that that extends to being on trains, too.
Hell yeah.
It's like being waterboarded when you don't have the internet.
Yeah.
Yeah, on the train. It's just like that.
Oh.
All right. I think that'll do it for this episode of Fire and Weeds. Hope you enjoyed it. Yeah, good to be back. Thanks to Adam for coming on last week and filling in for me. That was really great. And I hope you guys enjoyed that episode as well.
So shout out to our new patrons. Thanks for helping us keep the show alive.
Yeah, welcome. Hope you're enjoying the bonus content. We're about to record an episode on forensics and how they're fake. Yeah. So if you want to hear that, you can hear it at patreon.com/ironweeds for $1 or $3 or $5 or $7 or however many dollars you want to give us.
You know, in jury selection, they should just like make it so that if you watch like propaganda, like TV procedurals, You can't be on jury. Like, it should be a nullifying statement. It should be right up there with, like, I'm going to do jury nullification. Which actually should be totally legal.
It is legal.
Yeah, as in, that shouldn't be grounds for kicking someone out of a jury.
I agree. All right.
I know one kind of evidence technique that does work.
What's that?
I'm not telling you.
And in the meantime, you can find us on Twitter,
Ironweeds Pod,
and on Instagram,
Ironweeds Pod,
and you can send us an email if you want to at ironweedspod@gmail.com. Thank you so much. We love you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Peace.